Welcome to Love Fellowship Believers, a non-denominational church located at 1900 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Greensboro, North Carolina, on the campus grounds of Gillespie Park Elementary School. We invite you to worship, praise, fellowship, and learn of the mighty works and teachings of Christ according to the Bible that's catered to children, teens, and adults. This year's mission statement focuses on determined obedience, where we do just that and do the work as believers in Jesus Christ creatively, accordingly, with fun and an abundance of love. We promise you, visiting us is an experience that you will carry with you for life. God bless you. Hope to see you soon.
Come on, I'm going to say it every time until somebody get it. Let's go ahead and put our hands together for the Lord. I believe he deserves a standing ovation. Amen. I believe he's been so good that we can at least stand to our feet and tell him thank you. Amen. We can open our mouths. We can clap our hands. We can just let God know just how good he's been to us. Amen. Based upon our response into giving him glory. If he hadn't done nothing for you, then you can go ahead and sit down. You don't have to clap your hands. You don't have to do nothing. But if there's just one thing you can think about God and just say, thank you, God, we can spend a few more seconds just telling him thank you. Amen. 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 God, the creator of all things, Amen. If you would, Acts chapter one. Amen. It's good to be back in the house. Praise the Lord. Amen. Good to be back here. Amen. Acts chapter one. We're going to deal with verses five through nine on this Pentecost Sunday. Amen. Amen. Verses 5 through 9. Sunday that we celebrate when the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit came to permanently indwell here. Amen. With us. Amen. Not to come and go, but to stay. Amen. This Pentecost Sunday. Amen. If you don't know what I'm talking about, just make sure you go over to chapter 2. You'll find out even more. The Lord's going to have us from chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. Chapter 1 of Acts, verses 5 through 9. When you get it, would you say amen? You need some more time, just say, Pastor, hold up. All right, we're going to hold up. Acts chapter 1. Verses 5 through 9. Everybody got it? It says, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Let us pray. Father God, first and foremost, we say thank you. God, thank you for this time. God, thank you for this moment. God, thank you for who you are, God. Thank you even for this opportunity to stand before your people, Father God, and to share your word. God, I pray and I ask that it would be done in a way that would be pleasing in your sight, God. Open up our ears and our hearts and our minds that we would receive what thus saith the Lord. For Father, we need you and we can't make it without you. Bless us, God, that we be blessed. For it is in the wonderful name of Jesus that we pray. Amen, amen, and amen, amen, amen. Man, you may be seated. You may be seated. Hey, so the title for today's sermon, prepare for better, greater, and the best. Prepare for better, greater, and the best. And the best. Amen. I was reminded of this morning that everything has progression. Everything has progression, and there's an order in which things should go. Amen. want to go ahead and share with you here in the Acts of the Apostles, this book that's written here. Understand that it's the book that we see right after the four Gospels, right after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And now, so what's happening here is that Acts picks up right after all four of those Gospels and says, now this is the next thing that happened. This Sunday, it's happened in June before in Pentecost, but this Sunday here in 2015, we celebrate Pentecost Sunday in May. And we celebrate the exactly what these scriptures are talking about. This Holy Ghost that's going to come. And then Pentecost is where this Holy Ghost came and it permanently indwelled here with us. Amen. With us always, never to leave. In Old Testament, we would see the Holy Ghost would come and then it would leave. It would come and then we would leave. But now, as after Pentecost happened, the Holy Ghost came, and the Bible doesn't record that the Holy Ghost has ever left since then. Amen. Prepare for better, greater, and the best. I don't know what God's been doing in your life. I don't know what's been going on, but I want to go ahead and let you know that God has better for you. Amen. I want you to know that God has greater for you. And I want you to know that God has the best for you. Amen. Anybody receive that? So here in verse 5, Acts of the Apostles, it says, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And I want you to know that there's something better. There's something better than the life that we live right now. There's something better than the life that God has even blessed us with. That first of all, in receiving, being baptized, receiving the Holy Ghost. Amen. For to be able to even be in that situation, there has to be a relationship. And so what is the better than just us just having this life and just living is that we will receive Christ as our Lord and Savior. That's better. That's better. And if there's anyone that has received Christ already, there ought to be somebody that's happy about that thing. Because when you think about where you've come from and actually what you've been through, but now that I've received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, there ought to be someone that can agree and say, yes, I have better. Yes, I have better. I have better in my life. Amen. No, all of my problems and my situations are not gone. No, I still go through. I still have situations, but it's better because now I have Christ. I remember when I didn't have Christ and I was going through what I was going through. I remember when I had bills to pay and I didn't have Christ. I remember when I didn't have any patience. I remember when I didn't have anybody to pray to. I remember when I didn't have any relationship, but now I look at it and I thank God that I'm walking in better. Amen. Is there anyone that can give an amen to that? For John baptized with water, amen, with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom unto Israel? They're already saying, okay, we understand that we're going to get this Holy Ghost, but we're looking for Israel to be restored. We're looking for even more. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power. Amen. Ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all in Judea and in Samaria and to the othermost part of the earth. So now, not only do we deal with better, but we see greater, because now once we deal with better and accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then it says because of the fact that you've received the Holy Ghost, there's also some residual stuff that you're going to get with that. Because you received the Holy Ghost, I don't want you to just think you've just receive the Holy Ghost just to receive the Holy Ghost. But once you've received the Holy Ghost, you've received power. You now have power to speak to the enemy. You now have power to speak to your situations. You now have power to pray over what you're going through, and God will hear and then do that power on you to answer it. There's power that comes in receiving the Holy Ghost. Not only power just so that you will have power, but the Bible then describes that now that you've received the Holy Ghost and now that you have this power, I want you to go out beyond your four walls and let everybody know about Jesus, and let everybody know about the Holy Ghost, and let everybody know about the power that you now possess. Because now you've gone from better now to greater. I'm greater because of the power that he bestows upon me. not because of my own, but I'm greater because he continues to look out for me. Not because of my own, I'm greater because of the power that God has entrusted with me to be able to do what it is he would have for me to do. I want you to know that you don't sit here with power just for the sake of having power. If you have power, you'd also have responsibility. The scripture says that because of the power that you now receive because of the Holy Ghost, you now have the responsibility to go tell somebody else about it, to now go share it with somebody else. What good is it for me to have power that if I don't ever do anything with it? Scripture says here, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the othermost part of the earth. Now look, it's not just talking about just those specific areas, but it's saying to be able to reach out to everywhere because now I'm greater. I'm greater because of the power that I now possess. I don't care what type of titles you have behind your name. I don't care how good of an athlete you are. I don't care what type of job that you are, business that you own, or whatever things that you possess. That doesn't have nothing to do with it. Your power comes from on high. Your power comes because I have a relationship. Your power comes now because I've accepted him. Now he's blessed me with the Holy Ghost. And now there's power in because I'm a joint heir with him. Because when I speak, I don't speak just because of myself. When I speak, I'm speaking what the Lord is having me to say. There's power that happens. Anybody ever experienced? Yes, you've gotten saved. Yeah, you're walking. Yeah, you're talking. You're doing it. But anybody ever experienced actually praying for something and it coming to pass? Actually praying for something and it comes to pass. I want to let you know it's not because you prayed. It's not because you physically had the power to do it yourself. It's because of God saying, yes, what you prayed lined up with my will. And since it lined up with my will, I'll allow my power of the Holy Spirit to go ahead and take care of the situation. So I'll confound the doctors. I'll confound the people at your job. I'll make your family go, what in the world is going on? Because you prayed, and as you prayed, your prayer lined up with my will. And so now I'll bless it. And that's how the power works. Amen. I had a conversation with somebody yesterday, and they presented me with an oxymoron. It didn't make sense to me. They asked me had I ever preached on self-redemption. I said, "Wow, self-redemption." I said, "I've preached on redemption before, but I don't think I've ever preached on self-redemption." I said, "But because I don't think that's possible." I don't think self-redemption is possible because I don't have power in myself to redeem me to anything. That doesn't make sense. If I had the power to redeem myself to something, then I would have had the power to have never allowed myself to get in the situation in the first place that I'd never even have to be. Is somebody following me? I wouldn't have to ever be redeemed if I had the power to. And so now self-redemption, wow, that's a trick of the enemy, isn't it? But what I do believe is self-forgiveness. Because now I have to forgive myself to be able to get to the point that where I can get to Christ to be able to be redeemed over what I was going through. Amen? And so it works out. But this power that I now possess, because now I've gone from better, I'm a better person now. I'm in a better place now because I've accepted Christ. But now I'm greater because now I have the gift of the Holy Ghost. And with the gift of the Holy Ghost, there's power that comes along with it. Now, with that, now I want to prepare for the best. Amen. Prepare for the best. It's not going to be in the scriptures that we read. It'll be a little bit down farther. Amen. Verse 11, it says, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you in heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Well, to now prepare for better, now I have to prepare for better because now I got to make sure I get my relationship right with Christ. Now to prepare for greatest, I need to understand that receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, there's power that's indwelled upon me. There's a responsibility that comes on in my life. But now for me to actually see the best, to see the best is when I see him coming in the air again. To see the best is when I'm going to be seated right beside him. To see the best is when I'm going to go through judgment. I'm going to have my bema. We're going to sit up there. There's going to be a marriage. The bride of Christ, the church, is now going to be joined back with Christ, and they'll be together, as the Bible states, forevermore. That's the only way I can be the best, because the Bible tells me that now in my present state, my righteousness is as filthy rags. But the only way that I can be made whole is when I see him again. That's going to get me to the best. Well, Pastor, if Scripture says to prepare to be better, to prepare to be greater, and to prepare for the best, then how do I actually do that? I actually prepare to be better with a change in my walk. I now actually prepare to be better with a change in my attitude. Because remember, our first point, better, means that I have to have a relationship with him. I can't keep waddling in my same mess thinking that it's always going to be all right. I can't keep thinking that by my own power and by my own might, I'll be able to work my situation out. Because you never will. You never will. You'll never be better without Christ. Whatever state you're in right now, if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you'll never be better than what you are. I didn't say you won't possess anything. I didn't say that you won't have some things. I'm not telling you that you won't get some titles, but you'll never be better. The only way I can be better is to receive Christ. And now in receiving Christ, you'll never be great if you don't have the gift of the Holy Spirit. You'll never be great without the gift of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is what gives you power. It's not because of the clothes that you wear. It's not because you articulate and you sound churchy. That don't have nothing to do. It's not because when you say hallelujah, you don't say hallelujah, but you say hallelujah. Now that don't change nothing. That don't change nothing. It's the power that indwells inside of you because of the Holy Spirit. That's what gives you power. And even with your power that you have now inside of you based upon the Holy Spirit, if you don't line up with his will, it still ain't gonna work. This is at the end of the Gospels. Jesus Christ is still among his disciples. This is the last words that he gives them before he ascends into heaven. He says, look, there's something better coming. This thing that's better that's coming is going to allow you to be greater. But the only way we'll be the best is that when the trumpet sounds and we're with him. How do I prepare to do this? I got to change my attitude. I got to get everything right. I got to open up my mouth and speak. It said there in the verses when they to go to Samaria, to go to all Judea, to go to Jerusalem. To go to Jerusalem and do what? Open your mouth. And so now that I have power, I have the ability to start to speak over my situations. I got a child acting up. I have the ability to speak over that. I got a job messing up. I have the ability to speak over that. I got a situation going on. I have the power to speak over it. And guess what? It has to listen to me as long as I line up with him. Even when we find ourselves in places sometimes where we say, you know what? I don't know what to pray. I don't know what to say about this situation. I don't know what would actually be the best. Can I go ahead and share something with you? If you would just simply say, God, your will. You would simply say, God, I don't know exactly what it is that I need. I don't know exactly what decision it is that I need to make. But God, I'm willing to just accept whatever your will is. I'm looking for a job. I need a job. But God, I'm willing to accept your will. Because if right now you say, no, I don't want you to have a job. Or no, I don't want you to work in that job. I got something else planned for you. The Bible just said that there are seasons for different things, right? We know in Ecclesiastes, the Bible says there's seasons. There's a time for everything. And sometimes it's just a time for you to sit your tail down and listen to what thus saith the Lord. Sometimes it's just time for God to just speak to you and say, look, there's some other things I'm working to get out of your life so that I can set you up for the next thing. So power is no good if it doesn't line up with God's will. What good is it for me to have $1 million if I can't use it? If I make the choice to not use it? I have $1 million. What good is it if you're not using it? I have a car. What good is it if I got to get from point A to point B, but I don't get in the car? What good is it that I have a car? What good is it that if I have a home, but I continue to sleep outside? What good is it to have power if I don't use it? And so let me encourage you today to start using the power that God has placed inside of you. Pastor, I don't know how to simply say, Lord, your will. Lord, your will. And be willing to accept his will. Because 9 times out of 10... our flesh's will don't line up with his will. 9 times out of 10, what our flesh wants to do doesn't line up with what God has for us to do. In the Gospels, you'll find it in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus Christ himself even said, Father, if it would be even possible for this cup to be passed from me, would you take it away? But nonetheless, I stand to do your will. And so if I got to be beat, I'll be beat. And so if I have to go to the cross, I'll go to the cross. And so if I have to suffer and I have to be persecuted, then I'll do it. And the Bible also lets us know that part of what identifies us with Christ is our suffering. He says, you know what? They persecuted me. What makes you think they're not going to persecute you? And so therefore, part of God's will is for you to go through some things. A lot of times we want to pray ourselves out of those things, but it's those very things that keeps us and makes us stronger. So Lord, your will would be done. And how do I prepare to be the greatest? I prepare by doing exactly what Scripture tells me to do. I'm watchful. I'm waiting. I'm doing my very best to please the Lord. I know I'll fall short. I know I'm not going to always make the mark. But that's not going to keep me from pressing towards it. I know that I'll fall short. I know my righteousness is as filthy rags. I know that because of this flesh, I was born with an inherent sinful nature. But I'm still going to press to do my very best. When I find out that I'm messing up, when I see an area that I'm going to do my best, what do I need to do to change that to be better? And understand that there's a process in doing that. But I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to continue to press. Because as long as time is still ticking on the clock, I still have an opportunity to get it right. I don't know about you, but I'm looking to be the best. I'm preparing for the best. And if God has it set up for me in this human body, I want you to know that God also has it set up in this life for you to be better, for you to be greater, for you to be the best. Prepare for God's blessings coming your way. Prepare for God's blessings coming your way. I don't know if you're going to expect it. I don't know if you're going to receive it. But prepare for what God has set up for you. Because Scripture says, if you've been faithful over the few things, I'll make you ruler over many. If you're continuing to be faithful, if you're continuing to do what it is God would have for you to do, God has better set up for you. God has greater set up for you. But you first got to be able to take care of what you got right now. So take care of what you got now. Yeah, it might not be what you want. Yeah, it might not look like everything that you want it to be. But take care of what you got now and watch and see if God doesn't have greater set up for you. Watch and see if God doesn't have the best set up for you. You're his child. You're his child. He has engrafted you into his family. We are joint heirs with him. And he wants us to have better. He wants us to have greater. He wants us to have the best. And in doing so, we just got to line up with him. Prepare for it. Be ready for it. How do I prepare? You take care of what you got. Take care of what you're already dealing with. Pastor, you don't understand. I got some relationships that's tore up. Well, take care of the relationships that you have. And watch and see if God won't work it out. Watch and see. Pastor, I don't know. You don't know, Pastor. They stabbing me in the back. Well, line up with the word. The word says that when they go against you, when they come up, start to pray for them. Take care of your relationship that you already got and watch to see if God will make your relationships better. Use the word on it. Pastor, you don't understand. My finances are all jacked up. They all out of order. Well, you know what? Do what he says to do with your finances and see if they won't become better. See if they won't become greater. Understand that you've been blessed to be a blessing to somebody else, not just to be blessed on your own. Do what it is he tells you to do with what you're given. He says, you know what? You've robbed me. Pay me back. How can I pay you back? I can't give you everything back, God, that you've done, but I can give you a portion of what I have. Try them and see. You want it to be greater? You want it to be better? You want it to be greater? You want it to be the best? Do it the way God says to do it. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for the Lord. Amen. 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 I don't know what you're expecting from God. I don't know what you're expecting from God. I can only share with you what I'm expecting from him. I'm expecting better. I'm expecting greater. Not because of who I am, nor because of what I've done, but because of his word. He says that if I do these things, he has things set up for me. This same Jesus that we're reading about here in this beginning book of Acts, we'll find in those Gospels, he says, I'm going to prepare a place. I have the best set up for you. That lets me know it's God's desire that I would have the best. It's God's desire that I would have greater. It's God's desire that I would have, it's his desire. He wants to bless me. Scripture says that it's God's desire that everyone would be saved, knowing that there's still some that's not going to choose him. But it still doesn't change his desire. God, a God that's so loving that says, you know what? I have blessings set up for you that ain't got nothing to do with you at all. Just because I'm God and I want to bless you. Then he says, I have some blessings set up for you that if you would do this, I'd even bless you the more. If you'd respond this way, I'd even bless you the more. If you'd be faithful to me in prayer, I'd bless you even more. If you'd be faithful in your relationship with me, I'll bless you even more. If we just do what he says. Here's my transparency. I ain't always done what he said. Even as pastor standing before you right now, I got areas I need to work on right now. I got stuff that still wakes me up in the middle of the night. I need to work on. I need to get straight. And there's times I feel like giving up, but I want to press. He's been good, too good for me to give up. I'm now living a life I don't deserve. I'm now here, and I didn't deserve to be here. Because based upon what I've already done, I should be gone already. And so now I want to make sure I'm doing my best for him. Knowing still that there'll be plenty of times that I'll fall short. but I want to do my best for him. So could you, as we get ready to stand to our feet, with this personal decision time, could a personal decision today be that I want to do better? I want to do better.